Hello and welcome to Women with AI. I'm really looking forward to speaking to today's guest, but before we jump into the podcast, let me tell you a little bit about her. Our guest today is Natalia Tolkowska. Natalia is an award-winning serial entrepreneur and the visionary CEO and founder of Natalka Design, a strategic storytelling agency. And she has spent over a decade helping the biggest brands communicate their sometimes complex and big ideas through visual storytelling. She's a global strategic communication specialist and six times TEDx speaker. And Natalia has launched two podcasts, Draw Pod and Resist the Usual, where she likes to challenge conventional thinking and empower people to embrace a more human approach to storytelling. Natalia also launched Doodly Doo, an immersive social event experience to help people connect through the joy of drawing, which has now spread across 25 countries. She's an accomplished creative and art director, visual innovator, a guest lecturer at the University of the Arts London and Central St Martins, and expert in residence at Imperial College. And that's not all. Her latest venture is Visualize Futures, offering insights to encourage using AI breakthroughs in everyday business. So I'm hoping she's going to tell us about all of that in our chat today. Natalia Tolkowska, welcome to Women with AI.
Thank you. Oh my God, I need to steal that line from you, Joanna, because it's just the best introduction ever. I'm a busy person.
No, I think it's fantastic. And you were in Austin, Texas last week. Well, we'll get onto that, I'm sure, when you're telling everything. But so you launched your business, Natalka Design, back in 2011, 2012, before AI was even being talked about in the mainstream. So maybe you could tell us a little bit how you got into that, but then how AI has impacted on or changed your business, and have you embraced AI?
Oh, have I? You know, one day I feel like I have, one day I'm fighting it. I'm just like any other person trying to figure it out. Where should we start?
Well, I mean, start with Natalka Design. Is that the beginning? Yeah. Is that where you normally...
Yeah, it is kind of, I mean, you know, when you think about it, you're looking at a curious little child who's been trying to figure it out and create things since I was a little kid. So I think that was always in me, but kind of coming into the professional adult self. Yes, I started the business in 2012. I always say, do you want the espresso or the wine version? Because the wine version is definitely Netflix worthy. And if there's any Netflix listeners, please do call me, because it's going to be a blockbuster. Very quickly, it was a tweet that changed my life, I have to say. And I'm not going to say X, because back in the days it was a tweet. And I love Twitter, forever Twitter. And I basically was a curious young woman who was supposed to just come to London to study, do my MA in languages and translation, studying that part of my brain, how quickly can it interpret language, I guess, and drawing on the side. So these two things have been always part of my life. But I tweeted a businessman, a charity owner called Darren Robson, who for weird magical way said yes to meeting me for a coffee, although I had no background, no kind of, you know, full-on CV or anything like that. I was miserable sitting in a startup, getting underpaid and just thinking about my life, what do I do with it, and I need to definitely do something more with it. Met me for a coffee at 7 a.m all across London, so I was like, I better impress that person, whoever he is. And long story short, it was one of those power hours, I think, in one's life where first time you feel like you've been seen, your ideas, your passion, you feel like you matter, you feel like someone can see something in you that you can't see yet. And how that manifested itself is basically he told me, in to wrap it up quickly, you're stupid not to do something with this, whatever this is, you've got a talent, I've got connections, I work with different people, here's my number. Sort yourself out, make a website, get a business card, whatever kids are doing these days, and call me. And I was very terrified, because it's not a movie. I'm not Cameron Diaz to just throw everything away and, you know, start a new life, as many of us are scared to do sometimes. So what we agreed on is him supporting me basically without any form, any agreement, nothing, for the next 6 months, financially as well, just to get my basics in place, get my bills paid, literally. And my job was to get out there, run around, tell people what I do, what I'm passionate about, how can I help? That's the main question. How can I help in your world? And he decided to mentor me for the next 6 months, which I've never experienced mentoring, so I didn't know what that is. And long story short, here I am doing it for 13th year now with a team, with awards in the belt, with amazing projects, clients, from all the FTSE 100 brands, Googles, Disneys of this world, to UK government, wow, to royal family, and just it's a wild, wild west, I would say. But at the core of it, it started from someone just paying attention to another human, giving them a moment of their time and seeing something in them. So that's just been, since then, the core of why I exist on this planet. And I continue to do that through his legacy, because he's passed away last year, with everything that I do, mentoring, creating projects that hopefully can help people.
Thank you for sharing that side. That's really inspirational. I think that just shows the power of the human connection. And just to explain as well, you help companies visualize what they're saying. So you draw, don't you, what they're, the strategy or what they're doing, and you go to events and you'll, I understand, you'll draw what's happening or what they're saying and sort of, yeah, visualize the spoken word. So I guess you're doing that yourself. How has AI changed that? Does it help?
Ooh, does it help? It does help in many different ways, the business. So like you just said, that's how I started. I was running around with pens back in the days and visualizing key points of what people talk about in real scenarios and life scenarios, which would be events, sessions, workshops, prime minister's speech. I feel like I covered every conversation under the sun. Nothing will surprise me, even the scary parts that I know about the world now. And it kind of quickly developed into something more. So why we call ourselves strategic storytelling agencies, because there's a lot of, first of all, it's problem solving. So I love problem solving. I love talking to people and I love to find out what's doesn't work. What is the problem? What could be better? What is the kind of place where they're uncomfortable and they don't see results? And kind of where we are in the space is usually lack of engagement. Something is not landing. The conversation is not happening. The pitch is not being won. The strategy, no one reads it. It's boring. The campaign is kind of doesn't have any views and the event is not very memorable. So it kind of started from just running around events and scribing, and it became into this very, I would say, widespread in terms of execution. Strategy first, consulting on what's the problem, and then kind of finding ways beyond the graphics, I would say, because it could be anything from projections, animation, huge art stands and pieces, kind of statements, let's say for Cannes Lion or anything like that, to tell that story. That's at the core of it. What's the story and why should people care to read that story? And AI, you know, as we know, like, officially has suddenly spun out and everyone's going crazy and what is ChatGPT and everyone's a bit scared to lose their jobs and their place in the world. But as far as I know, and I bet you guys know, AI has been going on for many, many years before it became public, which fascinates me, because when you actually listen to people's stories in the business for so many more years in the business, in the mix than I have been, it's fascinating that it's been going for over a decade behind the scenes and very much at the level that we see now. It's just now like public can touch it and everyone's freaking out, right? But how it improved the business, I would say, and I have to say improved, is because I kind of want AI to help me to work better, faster, and help my clients to use their creativity more rather than us sitting through the kind of admin heavy stuff for too long. So how we use it is definitely for ideation. We love to kind of bring that part to the story using, you know, tools that everyone knows like DALL-E and Midjourney, and I can't wait to get my hands on Sora and all these other tools. But ideation, problem solving, so kind of taking that client through the process in a much more, also I would say, creative, immersive way, and getting rid of the kind of things that we need to do anyways and just getting to that place faster. I don't want to spend too much time on admin. Thank God for AI in that sense. So I'm one of those people, and a lot of creatives in my space and agency owners fear all these changes, but I'm one of those people that I'm like, let me like drive the car. I don't want to be, you know, left out. I want to be part of the conversation. I want to test it all out. I don't want to believe this is like all the end and gloom and doom of our jobs, because as long as we live in a system that requires us to earn money and spend money, we'll have to somehow earn the money, unless someone wants me to just have a flat earning 4-10K a month, whatever you want to give me, government, and I'll go buy the sea and paint all day. That's not happening. Then we all need to actively still be part of the work flow. So what does that mean? I don't know. It's changing rapidly, and certain jobs will go for sure. There's even a website recently that you can upload your CV and it will tell you what are the chances of you being replaced by AI and by when. So, you know, people are playing with all these tools these days, and some just give us fear and some are useful, some are useless. But again, beyond anything, I just want to be part of the conversation because it's fun and my brain is curious. And
as you say, it's better to be driving the car. You don't want to be left behind or in the passenger seat.
Although you don't know what's the fuel, Joanna, and like you're not really sure what's going on with the car. Like, is that a car that's, am I being tracked in that car? Is it, you know, like, do I even have control over the car? That's another conversation, but at least I want to be driving then kind of in the back seat.
Fantastic. And I think you're right. I think, you know, you've got human creativity versus AI. And the thing is, the AI is only as good as what's being fed into it anyway. It can't think like a human can. It's not going to spot the differences or the new ideas and the way to visualize something. You know, when you've got that pen in your hand, if you ask, you know, an AI tool to do it, it's going to be something completely different. And that's the thing. You need the human element. And I think you're right. It's getting involved with it now, because back in the start of the, you know, the 20th century, people were worried that the typewriter would put people out of work. You know, it was like the machines are here to take our jobs. You know, you're not going to be able to write anymore and do that. And, you know, maybe they did take those jobs, but then people find you change the way you work, or you change what you're doing and you grow with it and you embrace it. And I think that's the way forward. So can you tell us a little bit more about Visualized Futures?
Visualized Futures, that's a fun project that started from just kind of an idea. Me and Henry Coutinho Mason, he's an author of The Future Normal and a, as he calls himself, reluctant futurist. I'm kind of his PR. I love it, you know, because like I love what he does. And last year, me and him, we found ourselves in having slightly a bit more time during summer, which is very rare. But we thought like, okay, we've got some time, let's get together. We have the same interest in bringing these stories to life in different ways. Henry's more of a writer. I'm more of a visual journalist of, you know, kind of the world and what I observe and what I see. But we're both curious and we're both talking about it in rooms already at on stages. So why not do it together? And basically, it's very much people first, because that's always going to be important for me, that people are involved in this whole conversation. We are involved because we made it. We might as well. People first strategies for different parts of the businesses to kind of see where the AI actually is useful, what tools are out there, what tools are meaningful, what tools are really changing the game right now. Many, many of those tools and approaches we don't even know about because they're not in the main media stream. Like, yes, we all know ChatGPTs and DALLs of this world, but there's a lot of innovations that are blowing our minds. And me and Henry travel a lot and speak about it. He's been he's going now, to Riyadh in Middle East next month to launch our hospitality chapter of Visualized Futures. So we're talking all about innovations in hospitality space, which are crazy. And people are loving there because it's basically, it's such a huge part of the of that district, of that region. And now we're focusing very much on chapter around healthcare, which again, blows my mind. The, you know, augmented assistants, the AI tools that doctors are bringing to their work, you know, literally looking at, of course, Neuralink and all these big, 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 you know, plans that Elon Musk has, but also down to tiny products and tiny innovations that can change someone's health and someone's well-being. And looking down into focusing on patients and their experience and what is AI bringing. It's just like geek inside, Jonas. I can talk about it all day. But yeah, it from kind of creating a Substack piece where we just write and visualize these and create a story and narrative around all these innovations, we're finding ourselves much more getting interest from businesses and companies and conferences to talk about it, to share all these insights, to run workshops for companies and literally look with them at what's their situation, what could we improve on, what sort of tools could be useful, what is definitely not useful. And it's been really interesting to be in that space again and kind of it's almost doesn't matter that, you know, I draw and I visualize. It's kind of what these visualizations and narratives are creating, what sort of conversations they're opening, what sort of ideas they're getting people to think about. So that's kind of, again, I'm just curious about conversations.
I love it. I love that you describe yourself and Henry as two curious humans exploring the opportunities that AI is creating.
Yeah, we like to call ourselves humans also because one of my theories for the future is very utopian. It's that, what if in the future anything hashtag made by humans would be actually possible to be like accredited and checked, just like we have B Corp right now. Everyone wants to be a B Corp organization, and it's timely, it's costly, it's important. The moment you get it, you're like on a different level as a business, you get a different investment, different interest, all that stuff. What if in the future anything made by humans would be much more expensive, attractive, rare than AI? Because AI suddenly will become just like phone connection, internet came, phones came, now AI came. So what if? I just like to kind of play with these concepts and these futures and not looking necessarily at all of us, you know, kind of ending
I love
up
that.
Like
I think that's a much better way to look at it. And I think if we keep that idea and that vision, then I think, you know, we're on our way to making sure that that's what happens, because I don't want to be taken over by the robots. But I think, yeah, if we can use it to save time, to make our jobs easier. And you're right, it's like any artist or anyone, any professional, you know, that has worked and honed their craft. It's like the saying, isn't it? You know, it's like, well, why is it so expensive? It's only taken you like 5 minutes to do this. And it's like, well, to you, it may have taken me 5 minutes to put together your event or tell you how to do this or draw this picture. But actually, it's taken, you know, 20 years of actually doing it. It's taken like, you know, 3, 4, 5 years at university or studying or doing, you know, classes, and you've learned that. And that's what, you know, ChatGPT or all these other generative AIs and the drawing and the art ones, they haven't done that. And everything's going to start looking the same.
That's the thing. I mean, we have to like remember that ChatGPT is just a big washing machine of what we already done. So if we want to bring any sort of innovation and creativity into our world and continue on that, we always say with Henry, and you know, very much that's what I speak about all day long as well in terms of AI, is can you still make sure that you own those creative ideas? And what I mean by that is when I work with clients and I have a session, we always ask them to bring their ideas, even if it's a scribble, if it's a piece of writing, if it's a post-it note, if it's a just concept that they said, I still want your ideas. You're a very relevant piece of, almost like if you want to think about a human, it's tech. It's a fabulous piece of tech, actually naturally built when you think about it. It's all the technology and everything around us is very much inspired by humans and nature and how we work. It's all connected. It's nuts. So I always say, like, can you still start from your creativity? And then let's elevate that to a crazy level if you wanted to. Let's bring that scribble into a beautiful visual. Let's bring that piece of writing into a book. Let's bring that piece of concept into a product that we can develop ASAP, right? So, but it's, I think it's so, so important that we, if we want to feel relevant and part of the conversation, can we still own those ideas and start from here and then go out there? And we still need to read books. We still need to meet other people to bounce ideas. We still need to travel. We still have long way to go. And also, let's remember the innovation and technology is very unevenly dispersed. Just because we live in London, very lucky to be here in that bubble of innovation, or someone's in San Francisco, Singapore, Tokyo, New York, that's a different ball of game than even going to countries where they're just starting using phones, or there's no internet, or AI is kind of like something that TV starts to talk about slowly. So let's take into account as well the kind of collective understanding of what this is, because I could go, let's say, travel tomorrow somewhere and start doing my crazy geeky chatter and someone will be like, you know, and it just brings you a bit down in terms of bubble is one thing, but just be open to what's happening in the world in general and what's the levels of involvement in that and understanding.
I love that. That's great. And you're right. It's the data that's being fed in is everything that's happening. And that's why AI is good at predicting, isn't it? You're giving it something and then it's looking for patterns, it's predicting. And that's why it's great in the healthcare industry. So I think that it's going to be so valuable there. It's just, you know, you still need the human person, I think, to check it afterwards, don't you? Just you'll have fed it everything to look at, but you still need to have. And I think as a patient, you probably want that human element, as you say. If you want a piece of artwork or something that's been produced by a human, you also, I think, want to know that it's not just a computer, or it's not just a piece of AI that's given you your medical diagnosis. It's kind of done it. It's used all the stuff it's been fed, but you've still got that doctor as well that's done that.
Yeah, I mean, you're totally touching, Joanna, on one of the pieces that we describe in Visualized Futures for Healthcare, anything around augmented empathy. So we're looking at tools and that can bring the doctor and the AI co-pilot, as they nicely diplomatically call it, because all the language you have to notice is very diplomatic and very soothing. There's nothing scary around it. It's a co-pilot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not taking over. I'm just assisting, right? So one of the tools, for example, recently we looked at is called Bridge. In US, and doctors have been using more and more in terms of that AI being the assistant, the co-pilot, that's literally noting everything that's happening in that meeting with the patient. And finally enough, the data says that the patient really, really enjoys AI putting all the notes into place from what the doctor is saying, but equally the doctor needs to look at all these notes. They need to approve it. There's no kind of AI only diagnosis and off we go, because at the end of the day, let's be honest, we're all humans. We're all very emotional. We all trust another human. If there's a doctor, that's like the beacon of trust, isn't it? Right? When it comes to our health, we're so fragile. And if something happens, we need to know. But equally, the data says that AI assistant, as in noting everything endlessly, professionally, and being able to even translate it to us from a super difficult kind of diagnosis to literally tapping into, can you translate this for me like to a five-year-old so I can understand, I don't need to call that doctor five times a day. It's actually shown that it really works in that sense of doctor, co-pilot AI, and then the patient, and then the doctor is still there to approve it, is still there to use their brains, is still there to make these decisions, and is still there to soothe that patient with that human aspect. So I don't think we're going to be seeing anytime soon again a robot rocking up to a patient in a hospital, but we will be seeing more and more of that assistance and that almost helping the patient to get more information, be more informed, empowered. And you know, how often, Joanna, do we feel sometimes where we go outside of the doctor's office
totally.
And we're like,
I
don't know what he said, right? So it's just empowering both sides and kind of again showing that the person and the robot and the AI can all work together in peace. And hopefully that's the kind of, let's say, space we're going to be seeing more and more. Mm-hmm. Again, very unevenly dispersed, because if you look at, you know, London, it might come down, New York, LA, whatever, mm-hmm. right? It might happen in terms of tests. When we look at many countries, even in Europe, probably still a long time.
Because you're right, it's, if people aren't aware, as aware as we are, then you know it is going to take time to trust it, because it's different, isn't it, for different countries as well. So that there'll be a bit of slowness to the takeoff, I'm guessing. But we'll put links to everything to this in the show notes, so everyone can see all your fabulous drawings and how it's working and the different chapters of Visualized Futures. And but just to spin back, when you were talking about people bringing ideas to you and like that human touch, and like if it's a scribble on a post-it note or that kind of thing, is that how you got the idea for Doodly Doo, which I love the name of, by the way? I've been practicing saying it. But so these are immersive experiences, and they kind of, are they sort of team building events? Sorry, I've got a bit of a cough there. Are they team building events, or tell me all about it? Because I think it sounds fantastic, because I'm the classic person, you know, I did go to art college and I did ceramics, I did sculpture. So I'm the classic person that would say, I can't draw. So I know that you want to finish that. That's not true, is it? Everyone can draw.
Yeah, no, it's funny how Doodly Doo has this kind of almost like revival. It's very interesting what is happening to it, because that's a project that we started as part of, again, on the fringe, as I call it, of the business. Natalka Design is the core business, storytelling and helping people feel seen. But everything we do around it is to feed to that. And Doodly Doo started 10 years ago now. And at the beginning was purely me running around and wanting to kind of come out of that B2B space where we cater to amazing clients and it's very private and it's very NDA'd and lovely things are happening, powerful things are happening behind the scenes, impacting people. But I was really, really keen on meeting new people, getting kind of like all these people into one room. And I heard so much the whole like, I can't draw, I'm useless, I'm not creative and all that. And I was like, you guys talk about it. I don't believe in it. Everyone's creative and it doesn't matter how you draw. It matters how you think. It matters how you use your brain. It matters how you train your critical thinking. It matters how you decided to choose to take this road today versus this road to school to get your kid back from school, because maybe that road is much more green or more interesting or has more winding roads and you can meet one more neighbor on the way. So that is creativity to me. And it started 10 years ago. It had that sort of first layer of let's all draw, let's all connect. Always the purpose was for people to connect. I'm a huge connector and community builder, and I believe in that full-heartedly. It changes people's lives. And we've at some point then grew into 25 countries. Literally, people were starting to ask me left and right, can I start in Toronto? Can I start in New York? And I was just like, yeah, sure. And it's still running in a few countries. And apparently someone got married through it. I don't know. Like, I feel like I can now retire, Joanna. Oh, like, literally, my job is done. But connecting with Visualize Futures and where we're taking it with Henry now into, you know, more focused spaces is I've been asked more and more to bring it to companies and to use it, as you said, as a team building, amazing tool for team building. It's just basically the data shows it's play, it's creativity, it's connecting with people, it's breaking silos, it's all that amazing stuff that more and more companies need. On top of it, it ticks the box of well-being, looking into that, because more and more we've got literally now new laws coming in into companies where well-being needs to be looked at and supported beyond just a, well, there's some yoga once a month somewhere on the rooftop or access to an app that no one wants to use to meditate. And also now it takes off this kind of space of AI, because we're bringing Visualize Futures with Doodly-Doo into rooms that can be more than 1,000 people, literally. So Henry's going to be like launching that in Middle East, and we'll be bringing it to events and workshops where, again, we're starting with ideas, we're starting with scribbling and doodling, whatever is the concept, whatever we want to create, whatever is the problem we want to solve, and then let's take all these AI tools and elevate your idea, empower you to believe you are that creative and you are that amazing, and make that into a graphic, make that into a huge tapestry, make that into a video, put you in that video, tell a story that people will be like, whoa, what is that about? So I'm just, again, curious how all these tools are starting and all these projects are starting to connect between one another, and for the opportunities that Visualize Futures will have, you know, and Doodly-Doo will bring as an immersive experience. I'm excited because it can just tell the masses that they can create and they can turn their ideas from like this like dodgy scribble that you're so shy about to something really, really empowering. So my job is to constantly just empower people and make them believe that they can do things. We all thrive better.
I believe you. That. I feel empowered. I feel inspired. Definitely.
Maybe we can make one. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm going to keep doodling. Well, start doodling. Keep doodling. And just, yeah, prove that I can draw. We can all draw. Where can the audience find sort of resources and things about this? Have you got anywhere that you suggest people sort of find out more about this? I mean, we'll put links to your website and everything as well. But yeah, is there any sort of further thoughts around this or reading you can suggest?
Yeah, no, of course. So if you want to go purely to Visualize Futures, it's a Substack, and feel free to leave a link. Everything is there. If you want to get in touch with me or Henry, we're there. We're constantly there behind the scenes. I'm very active on LinkedIn. So under my name, under business name, and of course the website Natalka Design. We're on socials everywhere with Natalka Design as well. So there's actually too many ways to get in touch, Joanna. Because I'm just, again, kind of, you know, too curious and exploring every single
I love it. I love that on your website you've got the little, like, say hi thing in the bottom corner where people can click on it. You do a little, you know, like, explain who you are and say hello, and then I invite people to send you links back. Do many people send you the video, or do they just write, or do they, what do they do?
Yeah, you know what? This is a fascinating data. I talked about it recently with my friend when I went to South by Southwest, Joel, and he got in touch through the little video prompt. And actually, when I look at data and kind of what happens, so many people are shy about video. Many people don't really use it. Mostly they use text, then they use voice, then they use video. And it's fascinating because the video is the most powerful way you can connect with another human. When it comes to communication, then it's a still visual, some sort of, then it's voice, then it's writing. It's just in terms of like most of us, that's how we respond. I'm not saying everyone, but most of us. So, to give a little tip, if you even are a bit awkward about leaving any video message, try to challenge yourself because the outcome will be the best if you really care to say hi to 10 people. See what you get out of video. And see what you get out of 10 text messages and come
No,
back
I
to
think
me
that's a
with
very good
challenges.
challenge.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Challenge our audience to do that and come back to us, because I think you're right. Especially since lockdown, it's been so easy. It's obviously so easy to text someone. You know that they'll read it, or you're reading it yourself. But I think the power of the video call as well. And I find now, like with my family, we always do video calls just all the time. And if someone's driving and you happen to just, you actually have to speak to them, you're like, oh no, but hang on, I can't see your face. I can't see your reaction. I can't do, you don't know what I'm doing. I can't show you this. So no, I definitely agree with the video angle. Even though I did say earlier that I'm not over the moon that we're on YouTube. But I think why not? Because that's how people get to know you and see what you look like. And yeah. There's that human connection.
Exactly. And you are such a more real form to me right now. Like, as in Joanna, there's your face, you move, you speak. I can imagine you and kind of lock you in my brain in a much better way than if you were just an email or you were like a dry message on LinkedIn or something. And of course, that would even be more empowering if we met in person. So there's these layers of connection. And I would say, like, even like 2 weeks ago, David kindly joined our creative evening we did in Design District, and it was in person. And it was from the feedback that I'm getting, it was one of the favorite parts of everyone's month because we met in person. And it's something that we think is kind of going away because of what technology is doing to us and how it can isolate us. But actually, again, until my last day, I'll be always a supporter of community building, of meeting in person, and having that always as part of our human experience because, again, that's when we're more happy, we thrive more, we come up with better ideas, and we feel like we belong more. Otherwise, we're all sitting in little cubicles trying to talk to ChatGPT, and it's not good for our
Agreed.
brains and our
I think it's,
well-being.
people first. That should be our strategy for everything. Yeah, AI can help us,
Always,
but yeah, it's people
always.
first. Natalia, thank you so much for coming on Women with AI. It's been so much fun to speak to you. I've really enjoyed it. I hope you have too. And yeah, we'll have to get you back on so we can hear how everything's going.
Thank you so much, Joanna. You are brilliant. I'm really pleased to be part of it
Thank
and
you very much.
congratulations on launching it.